Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
I was whining. So yeah, I am preaching to me. Now, in the book of Joshua, the greater portion of the book is Joshua divvying up the promised land, if you will. You know, they've gone over into the promised land, they've got these 12 tribes, and each tribe is supposed to get their portion, and a lot of the previous chapter and this chapter, Joshua's laying it out. Okay, you guys get this, and here's the boundaries, this river to this plain, to this mountain, to this plateau, and such is the case in most of Joshua chapter 17. But in verse number 14 and 15, and that's all we need to focus on tonight, we see a group of people that get their portion. They ain't happy about it. It's kind of like what this girl is saying right here. It's not fair. What are we talking about? Well, let's read. In verse number 14, now again, Joseph, he's telling the people, this is your land, this is your land, so forth. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? So he tells them what their land is, and they kind of look at each other and say, what? Wait a minute, Josh, do you know who we are? And that's it. And what he had given them was appropriate for them. But there was part of that land that they were going to have to work. And it's just obvious from what we're about to read, they didn't want to do it. They had enough land, but they wanted open land, all open land. You know, these are people of the plains, if you will. But part of the land that was given to them is forested land. And they're looking at that like, well, that doesn't count. We need bigger land. Look at what Joshua says to them. This is fantastic. So they say, we're a great people. And Joshua answered them, well, if thou be a, I added the well, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You guys, you're right. You're a great people. You need more land. No, he comes back at him with a little sarcasm. He said, okay, you're great people? All right, great people, here's what you do. You got enough land there. You're not counting the high country, the wooded country. Go back and cut that, and you've got enough land. Joshua's dividing it up. It's the children of Joseph that we're talking about here, Ephraim and Manasseh, and their problems, or their portions. And they're complaining. We're a great people, and this land is too small. And of course, as we just said, Joshua looks at him and said, no, that's enough land. He doesn't capitulate. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. No, he says, you've got enough land. You go up there to the high country, you count that, you take care of that, you cut down those trees, you've got enough land. I would contend that what these people are doing is a good representation of just plain old, everyday, unadulterated whining. They're whining. The land was there. It was sufficient. That is evident by what Joshua told them. He didn't change the boundaries one little bit. One other preacher said concerning their response to Joshua, I have in a quote for you. He said, faced with the whining of the privileged, expecting entitlement, Joshua simply tells them to make something of the plenty that they've already got. This preacher describes what they're doing there as whining. How would we define whining? Whining can be defined simply as complaining in a feeble or petulant way. Just complaining in a feeble, petulant. Petulant is just kind of childish. It's just kind of childish, just kind of immature. And that's a problem. It's a problem when anybody whines. And the truth is, probably a lot of us in this room are guilty of it, at least sometimes, when we think about it, if we're willing, if you're man enough or woman enough to admit it. There may be, I don't know, some folks in this room, this is a perpetual problem, where people who know you and love you may have even said to you, you whine all the time. Maybe they didn't use that term. Maybe they just used the word complain. And I guess they're both very similar. That's a problem. Whining is a problem. Let me share with you some quotes that express the problem. Number one, whining is just a powerless complaint. A powerless, meaningless, if you will, complaint. I like this quote. You can never win when you wear the ugly cloak of self-pity and the sour sound of whining. You can never win. That's not a winning formula for anything. Think about it. It's non-productive. I like this quote. There's no problem so big that whining won't make it worse. There's no problem so big that whining won't make it worse. If you're like me, you might be feeling a little ashamed right now because I've already been preached to. These quotes speak to me too. This last quote, worded kind of odd. It's an old quote from the past, but in murmurings at the privations of life, we spoil the enjoyment of its blessings. If you're whining all the time, you're definitely missing out on the blessings you have. There are serious problems with people who whine all the time. Number one, whining never resolves anything. It really doesn't. I know because I've whined before. And whining doesn't resolve anything. Number two, whining means you're playing the victim card. Oh, woe is me. Don't you feel sorry for me? You're just playing the victim card. And number three, whining will cost you friends. Whiners do not, have you ever noticed whiners do not attract people? People try to avoid whiners. I mean, that's a reality. You know, somebody pulls up. Who is that? Oh, close the curtains. Lock the door. Turn out the lights. They knock on the door. Nobody's home. We're not here. It's a problem. And I think this is a problem that can be a real problem for even lots of us Christians. Here's another great quote. Got a lot of great quotes tonight. I was amazed at how many quotes are available. They're good thought-provoking quotes that deal with whining. Here's one of them. Whining is defined by experts, the therapist or spouses, coworkers, and others who have to listen to it, is chronic complaining, a pattern of negative communication. It brings down the mood of everyone within earshot. It can hold whiners back at work and keep them stuck in a problem rather than working to identify a solution, and it can be toxic to relationships. There's nothing good to be found in anybody that whines, whether in the home, at school, at work, in the church, doesn't matter. And the Bible is very clear about this. It says it explicitly in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Of course, murmurings would be complaining, and I suppose could be also labeled whining. I think they're all synonymous. Murmuring, complaining, whining, belly aching, call it whatever you want. The Bible says do all things without that. In other words, there's never a situation where, in that situation, whining's okay. Really is saying here that it's never okay. It's never okay to whine. So we ask the question, why do we seem so predisposed to whining? Why is it for many people when things don't go their way, that's the default position? You just start whining. Well, let me give you two reasons. One is a valid reason, and one is not. There's a valid reason not to whine, but there's a valid reason at times to express your concern or express your frustration. But whining is when you do it all the time. There are some times when it is okay on a limited basis to tell someone your concern. And that's not whining. It becomes whining when it's kind of all the time, all the time, all the time. But let's look at this. The valid reason. We crave connection. Sharing your woes with another person makes you feel a little less alone in the world. We want other people to feel our pain, to share in our ups and downs, and to acknowledge our efforts. And that's not necessarily, as this quote says, a bad thing. When you're feeling down, comforting words from someone who cares can be a soft place to land. So is it whining to just go to somebody with a concern you have or a disappointment that you have? I think if it's done on a limited basis, that's perfectly understandable. And it may be even a good thing to do. But we're not talking about the person that has that occasional frustration or concern. We're talking about more tonight people that are just doing it all the time and doing it particularly when it can accomplish no good. There's an invalid reason. And this would be another indication that you're whining because you want to be admired. You like the recognition. You like the sympathy. You like the empathy. You know, when you're telling somebody your concerns, you're not trying to be admired. You're talking to somebody about solutions. You know, I'm frustrated with this, or this isn't working out like I thought. Can you help me? A lot of it is determined, whether it's whining or not, is determined by the motivation behind it. Some people aren't looking for solutions. They're looking for admiration. Listen at this and tell me if this isn't convicting. We mistakenly believe that if others truly understood how tough we have it, they would respect and admire us. A lot of us are just looking for not help. We're looking for sympathy. Empathy, or as this person describes it, admiration. Now that's a problem. Because if you get admiration, then you're prone to say, oh, well, you think that's bad? I got something even worse next week, I can tell them. And they're just going to shower me with sympathy and love, and I'm just going to eat it up. But what you don't realize is doing that all the time after a while, well, let's read on. Sadly, it doesn't work this way. Telling people how hard things are evokes pity and sympathy at best, and boredom and disdain at worst. We have to think about this. When we go to somebody and we share a burden with them, are we whining because we want the attention and the admiration? Or are we looking for solutions? It's not wrong to bare your heart to someone. In fact, you should if you're looking for solutions or if you just need some temporary encouragement. But when your motive is, I just love the attention, and the only way I get attention is to tell other people how bad I have it, that's not going to work. Let me give you an example. If someone starts to complain about their so busy schedule and how tired they are, let me ask you a question. What goes through your mind? When somebody is constantly telling you how busy they are and how hard things are and how difficult it is, do you think when they're telling you that, wow, I really admire this person? More likely you're thinking, that is so awful. I am so glad I don't have your life. Or you're thinking, you think your schedule, you may not say this, they're going on, oh, it's so hard, it's so difficult, my schedule, I'm so busy, I can't find time for this. You know, instead of admiring them, you're thinking to yourself, you think you have a crazy schedule? Check mine out. It's not producing what you think. In fact, it's counterproductive to what you want to happen. Here's another great quote. Whining is basically saying, please feel sorry for me because I'm a victim with no power to influence my circumstances. Again, and I want to make sure you have this. There is a time and a place to share your burdens with someone. And that's not whining if you are sharing it with them simply because you need an attaboy from somebody or because you really think they might have help for you, an answer, a solution. But it's quite another thing when it goes on and on all the time and the motive is, I like the attention. I just like the attention. And that's the only way I can get attention. And maybe you've never thought of it that way before. But can you be honest with yourself tonight and say, when I go to people with my burdens, do I really want answers and help? Or do I just love the sympathy? I love the empathy. Here is the quote of the night, I think. Whining is a race to the bottom that you don't want to win. Whining is a race to the bottom that you don't want to win. Now, don't go out of here whining about the message tonight, okay? Don't go out whining about the message. That's not going to help you. What can you do? Okay, what can you do? And it is so simple. And folks, listen, even before I prepared this message, a few months ago, this was on my heart. Because I said, I can be guilty of this. I may not whine to you, but Sharon's an easy target. You know, all the way home, all the way here, every day, you know, that's when I hear the quit your whining. There's a simple question you can ask to stop whining in its tracks. So what are you going to do about it? So what are you going to do about it? Somebody's whining to you. Ask them, what are you going to do about it? They don't want to hear that question. You know, because that infers responsibility and infers the fact that you can do something about it or you should do something about it. But the truth of the matter is, if you can't do anything about it, then don't whine. If you can do something about it, don't whine, right? If you can't do something about it, don't whine, right? When you ask that question, so what are you going to do about it? It moves you out of the whining mode, the whining mindset, into problem solving. That's where mature people go. They know that the whining is just turning people off, turning people away, and not resolving anything. So you've got lots of good quotes tonight. Whether it's your kid complaining about a teacher, an employee whining about suppliers, or yourself venting about your spouse, give it a few minutes of supportive listening, then ask, what are you going to do about it? That's very simple. And you say, oh, it's got to be more to it than that. It's got to be more complex than that. That's not what I'm looking for. That's too simple. I mean, I can be held responsible for that. No, I think that's pretty much it as far as how to handle whining. You ask the person that's whining, what are you going to do about it? Or when it's you whining, you ask yourself, okay, what am I going to do about it? Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua 17, verse number 15. It's basically what Joshua did. But he told them what to do. You know, instead of just saying, oh, I feel so bad for you, you poor people. Verse number 15, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, okay, you said it, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. He didn't ask them, okay, what are you going to do about it? He told them what to do about it. That's how he handled their whining. That's the biblical way to handle it. I like this. I know it's important to do more than just complain when there's something you don't like. You need to try to do something about it or you're nothing but a whiner. I was reading about this woman who was very convicted about her whining. And she was open enough with herself. She was self-aware enough that it was a problem. She acknowledged, yeah, I'm a whiner. And she made a list of things. She said, I'm not gonna, and it was a long list. I just gotta have 10 things, just to kind of give you an idea of how people think. And here's some of the things that she had, 10 things. She had a lot more, but I just copied 10 of them. She made this list. She said, I will not whine about the traffic. I will not whine about the service at a restaurant. I will not whine about the weather. I will not whine about anything on social media. I will not whine about the past. I will not whine about how much time I don't have to do something. I will not whine about how my friends are always late. I will not whine about how much sleep I get or don't get. I will not whine about anything that I can easily change. I will not whine about my faults without figuring out how to fix them. That's a woman that life is going to get better for her and is going to make her, she'll get invited to the parties instead of not being invited to the parties. I realized several months ago, in fact, I think I shared it with Brother Jamie. I said, when it comes to whining, you either need to do something. I didn't tell him. I told him this is what I was saying about myself. I wasn't telling him that this is what he needs to do. But I've realized when I have that tendency to whine, either do something about it or shut up. And it was like the light went on in my brain. You know, because before I even knew this message was coming, this was several months ago, I was just dealing with this, and I felt like I had been whining. You know, I wasn't telling someone something to get a solution. It just felt good to get the sympathy. But what I didn't realize, you're turning off the people that you're whining to. So either do something to fix it or be quiet about it. This woman concluded, and this is what she said, my days of whining, complaining about others have come to an end. Nothing is easier than fault finding. All it will do is discolor my personality so that no one will want to associate with me. That was my old life. And she says, no more. No more. When we're whining, we can't have a grateful heart. We can't have a thankful heart. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. What a stronger congregation we will be as individuals if those of us, and again, I'm not pointing any fingers. I know everybody in here pretty well, and I don't know that I could list whiners or not, but I'm going to assume that others in this room like me, from time to time at least, you know, may have the tendency to whine. We don't like calling it whining, but I don't know of anything that describes it better. You know, I don't know that whining just sounds better than calling it complaining. And again, the Bible states it, and we read this verse a while ago. Let's look at it again. We're coming to the end here. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. And we're focusing on the murmuring. And again, that could be belly aching, complaining, griping, whatever you want to call it. We're just not supposed to do that. Well, then what do we do? Well, we fix it. Amen. And if you can't fix it, just assume it's the Lord's will for you to just live with it. Again, Joshua, look at it for the third and final time. Joshua did not say, I feel so bad for you folks. You know, what was I thinking? You know, he shows them no sympathy whatsoever. Answer them, okay, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself. He gave them a solution that they're to work on. And that's what they began to do. This other quote, we acknowledge this is a sin-cursed world, so life isn't always fair. It's true. but you still have to deal with it. Whining about it rarely levels the playing field, but learning to rise above it is the ultimate reward. It is freeing when you are self-aware enough, because some people aren't self-aware. Some people you say, you know, that you know well, you could tell them, you know, can I be honest with you? You're a whiner. Me, not me. People are so shallow and insecure and so filled with pride, they don't want to hear anything critical. You know, so they're just going to keep whining. But when I say the person that is self-aware is the person that, through the conviction of a message like this or someone who loves them telling them the truth, realizes that, I really do, just call it what it is, I really do whine. Because I'm not looking for solutions and answers, I'm looking for pity. And again, let me make it very clear. Every time you express a concern, every time you express a need, every time you express a frustration, is that whining? It's never whining when you express that, because simply you need a little encouragement, which we all do from time to time, or when you're truly looking for a solution. That's not whining. And it's okay when you're down to go to somebody and you need some encouragement or you need some direction. The Bible talks about a multitude of counselors. You go to counselors not when things are going good, but when things are going bad. That's not whining. Not as I understand Scripture and just common sense. The whining part is when you, it seems to be a part of who you are, and your motive is attention, sympathy, empathy, but you don't realize that you're turning off so many people. Again, let's revisit that one quote that I said earlier I thought was the quote of the whole message tonight. Whining is a race to the bottom that you don't want to win. You don't want to be known as the first place undefeated whiner of Myo Baptist Church. Undefeated, reigning champion, been a reigning champion for years. That's not a compliment. That's not a good thing. Okay. And let me tell you this. Maybe that is your nature. For me, to be honest, sometimes, yeah, me too. That may hurt me. I don't know. I don't want to pat on the back. I know how it goes. And there's nothing good that comes from that. And all you're doing is turning people away. And Sharon and I have had these conversations before. Sometimes in the ministry it gets hard, and she and I'll be talking about, not necessarily whining, but talking about it. And we've come to the realization as we've matured in the Lord that either we need to just fix whatever it is that concerns us or trust that it's the Lord's will, but don't complain and don't whine. You know. And one of the things is everybody else has got their problems too. Amen? I mean, truth of the matter is, you may be whining to somebody, and if you knew what was going on in their lives, you would be ashamed of yourself because you don't know it because they're not whining. And really, you're just bringing a rain cloud right over them. So again, you're having a problem, you're having a difficult time, and you need some help, go to a brother or sister, come to me, you know. If you're just needing some encouragement or you're needing some direction, I won't consider that whining at all. But the person that is constantly, you have a sense that it's about everything. You know, whining about this, whining about that, complaining about this, complaining about that. And you start talking to them about solutions. Well, no, that won't work. No, that won't work. No, that isn't going to help. No, I can't try that. No, that won't work. You're just perpetuating a life that is miserable, and God's not going to bless it, and you're just probably driving some people away that could be great friends to you. Whining is a race to the bottom that you don't want to win. You can fix it. You have to think about it. You have to realize it. And just go back to this statement. This can be life-changing for someone in this room. When you are going through those tough times and you are frustrated and it tends to want to get you down and steal your joy, just remember, what can I do to fix it? And then give everything you got to fixing it. And if you can't fix it, just, it's God's will, and I'll pray about it, but I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to look for sympathy. We respect and we admire people who, under difficult situations, don't whine, don't bellyache, and don't gripe. And you can be one of those people that others admire. When you need help, get it. But look for solutions that you can implement, or look to God for the grace that you need to put up with it, if you will. But whining is just going to steal your joy, and it's going to be a wet blanket on everybody around you. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.